AM 1540, Zetton is one in Nassau. The Secret Rapture. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. A live call-in show hosted by Turning Point Ministries right here next, live on the National Voice, AM 1540, Zetton is one in Nassau.
This is AM 1540 in Nassau.
Though they be red like crimson, they should be as gold. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Here is another Turning Point program presented by Turning Point Ministries. Our discussion this afternoon will be on the secret rapture, fact or fiction. But before we get into our discussion this afternoon, we're going to ask Brother Paul Miller to give us the opening prayer.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and holy Father, once again, you've given us an opportunity to go live to speak to you and to the nation of your people tonight. As we speak to them, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will fall upon us, and not only upon us, but also all those on radio land tonight. At the end of the program, Father, we hope that everything that we say will be what you would have us to say and no one else. Be with those that will call, Heavenly Father. Be with those that are on radio land that what is here tonight will help them to understand that we are living in the time of the end. And if there's ever time we need to say to Scripture to see where we are in the faith, the time is now. So, Father, we pray at the end of this program, we will do everything you've commanded us to do, and that all of us will be on one accord at the end of this night. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. For the last few weeks now, ladies and gentlemen, as you might be aware, Turning Point Ministry has been discussing on our Sunday afternoon program, which airs on 1540, the same station, at 2 p.m. on Sunday afternoons. We were discussing the secret rapture, fact or fiction, the secret rapture, true or false. Call in, our lines are open. The telephone numbers are, I'll get the telephone numbers for you in a minute, the numbers to call. But before we get into that, our first question to Brother Paul will be, Brother Paul, could you tell us what the secret rapture is, please?
Well, Brother June, the secret rapture is something that has been shared with people all around the world, even through the internet, through television programs, through the latest thing now, you can even get a game that can teach you how to be prepared for the secret rapture. And it's something that has been shared now for hundreds of years. And the thing about it, ladies and gentlemen, is how it got started, it's all a mystery. But it was predicted by the Bible that these things will happen, and some will depart from the faith and given heed to seduction, to doctrines of devil. And here we are in the late course of its history, just like the Bible penned it, that is just how it is being played out. So tonight we hope that this program will be one that will help to inform you a little bit more, and what we shared during the past few weeks that we will share with us, we have to share with you tonight. And like we said, if you want to give us a call, you can give us a call with your questions and your comments based on what has been shared during the past 3 weeks and what is going to be shared here tonight.
Brother Paul, we've heard about the rapture, what the rapture is. But what is this thing called the secret rapture?
The secret rapture, Brother Julian, is a concept that came about in the 1500s where the papacy system had called a meeting at the Council of Trent to move away the stigma of the church, to say that, yes, the man of sin will be revealed. Yes, the little horn of Daniel chapter 7 is true. Yes, there will be tribulation and the man of sin will be revealed. But this will be after the church is raptured. And after the church is raptured, then the secret rapture will take place. And then those who leave behind will go through the great time of tribulation or the great time of trouble, as most of us are here today.
Brother Henrik, you had something to add to that?
Yes, sir, Brother Julian, Brother Paul, and good night, nation, good night, Bahamas. To add to what Brother Paul said, the secret rapture concept, that it was actually something that was that came out of the Council of Trent, that it was devised by the Jesuits as a way to take the prophecies that pointed to a particular religious group, to take those prophecies and to take the heat off of that particular religious group, that particular church, and to push them down to the end of time. What the Catholic Church did during the Council of Trent was they assigned a task to some of their top Jesuits to come up with a way to remove the stigma from the church, because we all know, I mean, if you go back and look at the historical record, during the period that was called the Protestant Reformation, there was a withering biblical attacks, so to speak, against the church because of the persecutions that were going on, and the Protestants at the time realized that the prophecies were in fact being fulfilled in this particular church body. And so the secret rapture theory, like we said, was concocted by the Jesuits to push all of the prophecies down at the end of time and say that at the end of time, this one Antichrist is going to come up, this single Antichrist. But before the single Antichrist figure comes up, Christ is going to come and snatch his church away secretly. No one is going to know when he comes. It's all going to take place, and no one is going to know where the church members go. But all of a sudden, the true church are going to disappear, and then this Antichrist is going to suddenly be revealed, and persecutions will begin. But when we study the biblical record, we find that there is no biblical basis for this theory. It really doesn't have, so to speak, it doesn't have a leg to stand on. But there are a few texts in scripture that people that have subscribed to this futurist theory actually try to use and say that this is actually talking about a secret rapture. And one of those texts, I believe that it was in pardon me for a second. I believe that it is in Thessalonians.
Brother Renrick, as you try to find the text, ladies and gentlemen, you could give us a call at 325-5403, 325-5404, or 325-5405. Those of you in Nassau or New Providence, you can give us a call at those numbers. From the Family Islands, you can call us toll-free at 1-242-300-8255. Remember now, we're 2 hours live from 8 to 10 tonight. Any questions or comments concerning the secret rapture, fact or fiction? So you can call anytime. We're accepting calls right now.
And go back and... And it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and verse 52. And this is one of the texts that many people that subscribe to the secret rapture theory actually use as a defense to try and say, okay, that the Bible does teach a secret rapture. But let's examine that text. 1 Corinthians verse 15, chapter 15, verse 51 and 52 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall raise incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now, many people that subscribe to this secret rapture theory, to this futurist theory, they don't take the text as a whole. They take the verse 51 and part of verse 52, where it says, "In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye," and they said that this is one of the texts that actually speaks of the secret rapture. The second text that they use to say that speaks of the secret rapture is a text in Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus speaks of Matthew 24 and verse 40, actually, and it says, "Then two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left." And this is another text that many people say that actually speaks of a secret rapture, that one person is going to be taken up with Christ in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. No one's going to know when it happens. The wife is going to be in the bed, and all of a sudden the husband is taken up. When the wife awakes, she doesn't know where the husband went. She doesn't know where the children went. They all just vanish. And many people say that this actually speaks of a secret rapture. But does this actually, in fact, speak of a secret rapture? And that's what we're going to be examining tonight, ladies and gentlemen. From the scripture, we're going to go line upon line, precept upon precept, and examine what thus says the word of God about this subject.
Our telephone numbers are toll free from the Family Island, 1-242-300-8255, or in New Providence is 325-5403, or 325-5404, and 325-5405. Call us now. We have persons manning the phone, so you can call with your questions or comments right now. Our next question, Brother Paul, is, based on your study and based on the two raptures, the secret rapture and the rapture you've explained, which one does the Bible teach us?
The Bible teaches that the gospel of the kingdom must be preached to the whole world for witness, and then shall the end come, according to Matthew 24, verses 14. And when the gospel is preached, it's not preached for everyone to be saved, but like the Bible says, it's being preached for a witness. But it is in the will of Christ that all men should be saved. But we know based on his own word, he said all men will not be saved because most men love darkness rather than light. And why is it that the gospel need to be preached to every man, woman, boy, and girl? We must realize in Revelation chapter 7, verse 1 to 3, right now there are four angels holding back the winds of strife. And according to prophecy, winds are known as wars or tragedies or major events. And these angels are commanded by God to hold back these different forces that want to hurt the earth. But Christ said they must hold these events until his people are sealed in their forehead. And according to Isaiah chapter 8, verses 16, Christ wants to seal his law among his disciples. You read that in Isaiah 8:16, where Christ told the prophet in his day to bind up the testimony, seal the law among his disciples. So even in the Old Testament prophecy, there were disciples, like how today we are commanded by Christ to go to make disciples of all men. And this event is a most awesome one because Daniel 12:1 tells that after this is completed, that Michael should stand up. We all believe it now. Michael is Jesus Christ, according to Jude 24. And Michael is right now sitting on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. But one day Michael is going to stand up. And the verse continues that when Michael stand up, there should be a time of trouble that was never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And all the people, the Bible says, of God's people should be delivered, every one that's found written in the book of life. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So the Bible is quite clear that when Michael stand up, there should be a time of trouble. But what is being taught in the Christian community today? What is being taught is Michael should stand up, God's people should be delivered, and then there should be a time of trouble. So could it be Daniel wrote it wrong? Or could it be those that are teaching it are saying it wrong? And based on historical records, they are surely teaching it wrong, ladies and gentlemen, because this concept was started, like we said earlier, in the 1500s, and it was started by the papacy system when they were trying to attack the message that Martin Luther and the reformers were teaching at that day. And Francisco Rivera was the Jesuit priest that came up with this concept that all these things are true, but it would be after the church's rapture. So here we are now, hundreds of years later, this concept is not being preached by the papacy system or the Catholic Church system, but it's being preached by our Protestant brothers and sisters, preaching a doctrine never maybe once stopping to investigate where this doctrine came from, and it's definitely not biblical.
But Reverend, I have a question for you. Did Jesus say that no man knows when he is coming? And wouldn't this suggest that there would be a secret rapture?
Absolutely not, Brother Julian. I do agree with you on one point, that no man does know the hour when our Lord is coming. We don't know the hour. I can't sit here and say, okay, at 9:15 and next Wednesday the Lord will be here. Absolutely not. And the scriptures is clear that we should not try to set a date or time for when our Lord will come. But we do know the times and the seasons. We can look around and see the events that are taking place in the world and in the church. And from that, we can know that his coming is indeed near. And one scripture, and the second part of the question that you asked, saying that since we don't know when he's coming, doesn't this foretell a secret rapture? And the answer to that is no. It does not foretell a secret rapture. We do know the times and the seasons when he's coming, but Christ himself warned against any teaching that his coming will in fact be in secret, and when in fact his coming will not be in secret. And he does warn us about this, and I invite all of our listeners to turn to Matthew chapter 24, and we'll read from verse 25 to 26. And Christ, again, he says, Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. In the secret chambers, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Christ is clear. These are the words of Jesus Christ speaking to all of us in the book of Matthew. And he's clear that if anyone tells you that he is coming in secret or that he has come in secret, do not believe it. That it is not true. It is a false prophecy. And again, we can also read in 1 Thessalonians, the Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Paul, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15 and 16. And it says, For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. And the Holy Spirit is saying through the Apostle Paul that those that are alive on that day that the Lord is coming, those that are alive will not be taken up before those that are in the grave. And he goes on to say in verse 16, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. If anyone shouts, that's not a secret event. If someone stands up today and gives a loud shout, anyone that's around are going to hear it. It's quite a vocal event. And the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, again, another loud event. and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And verse 17, then we which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So this right here debunks a major part of the secret rapture teaching, that the teaching says that the Lord is going to come secretly and those that are alive are going to go up first. But the Bible says quite the opposite, that he is not going to come in secret. This is what Jesus Christ says in Matthew 24, that his coming is not going to be in secret, that anyone that teaches you that his coming is in secret is deceiving you, and on top of all of that, that the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we who are alive will meet the dead in Christ in the air and will be with the Lord in the air and take us to heaven and so on and so forth from there. But the scriptures is clear, ladies and gentlemen. Let's study the scriptures for ourselves and not be carried off by the theories and the books and the movies and the wisdom of men.
Our telephone numbers are for the Family Island area toll free. It's 1-242-300-8255, or in New Providence it's 325-5403 or 325-5404 or 325-5405. Those numbers for the Family Islands is a toll-free number, and that's area code 1-242, telephone number 300-8255. Brother Paul, why are you so sure that we, in this day and age, 2006, are living in the end of time?
Well, Brother Julian, a lot of our listeners do not realize that we are now living in the sixth seal of Revelation. The sixth seal of Revelation says this, and I beheld, when he had opened up the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black, as slug called it here, and the moon became as blood. And the stars fell from heaven upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth an untimely fig, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were to move out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the mighty men, the chief captains, and the mighty men, hid themselves in the rock and said, fall on us, and hide us from him, the face of him who is to come, and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who should be able to stand? Right now, ladies and gentlemen, we are literally living in verses between verses 13 and 14 of Revelation chapter 6. The four events that are listed in Revelation chapter 6 have already taken place, according to historical records. In November 1st, 1755, the greatest earthquake that took place during that time is called the Lisbon earthquake. A few years later, in May 19, 1780, the same day and night, the sun became black. As a matter of fact, it was so dark that they thought it was night. And that night, the moon appeared to be as blood. And on November 13, 1833, stars actually fell from heaven. So today, most of our Christian brothers and sisters are not aware of this, that right now we are living between these two verses of scriptures. And if you should read Matthew chapter 24, Jesus has something to say about this. In Matthew 24, verse 29 to 31, Jesus says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, see, there was a first tribulation, and Revelation 6 will clear this up. So Jesus told the disciples in his day that there will be a tribulation, and historical records reflect that during that tribulation, no Christian lose their life. And this is not good news for Christians today who are afraid of the tribulation that is about to come. So Jesus continues, says, and after the tribulation of days, so the moon, the sun should be darkened, he said, and the moon should not give a light. And stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of heaven should be shaken, and they shall appear as a sign, and there shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens, and they shall all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And verse 31, listen to what Jesus says in verse 31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one of the heaven to the other. So Jesus said, it's going to be a trumpet sounding. So if it's going to be secret, how come Jesus talk about a trumpet? There's a trumpet. Is a trumpet light, ladies and gentlemen? We know trumpets make a lot of noise. So Jesus said there are going to be some trumpets. And so his angels are going to do some gathering from every end of the earth, from the north to the south, to the east to the west. So right now, according to Matthew 24, we are now living between verses 29 and verses 30 of Matthew 24. And the reason why Christ has not come as yet is because 2 Peter tells us, 2 Peter 3:9, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some man count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any of us should perish, but that all of us should come to repentance. So today, the Lord is calling for us to repent right now. And one day his long-suffering will run out, not because his love had run out, but because he has exhausted every avenue to reach us, and because we are unreachable. This is the reason why one day he's going to stand up according to Daniel 12:1. Now when he stands up, ladies and gentlemen, all cases would have been decided. Today's the day. If you hear his voice, ladies and gentlemen, harden not your heart.
Our telephone numbers are, for the Family Island callers, would be 1-242-300-8255. That's a toll-free number. You don't have to pay. It's just a call. Those in New Providence, the number is 325-5403 or 325-5404 or 325-5405. But anyway, Jesus foretold that the time of trouble would be a terrible time. There would be wars and famines, pestilence, natural disasters and plague. How can the Christian possibly go through these events?
Through the grace of God, we can go through, Brother Julian. You know, the true followers of Christ from all ages have suffered persecution, whether it be from the hands of the world or from the hands of those that also claim to be followers of Christ. We see this early in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, in the story of Cain and Abel. You know, both of them were supposedly worshiping God, but one slew the other because of anger in his heart or jealousy. And the same thing continues to happen throughout the history of the Bible. We see the same thing, the story with the children of Israel. Throughout the Bible, they suffer persecution from the hands of heathen nations. And the same thing, as history progresses, took place in the very early church. Right after Christ left this world, we saw that there was tremendous persecution at the hands of pagan Rome and the Caesars. There was terrible persecutions. Christians were burned at the stake, were thrown to wild animals to be eaten. And as time progressed again and the Dark Ages ensued, we saw that persecution shifted from the hands of pagan leaders or the state, and the persecution started to take on a different form, being that the persecution came from within. The persecution came from those who also call themselves followers of Christ. Persecution came from fellow church members. And so your question is, how can Christians possibly go through these horrors? How can we go through the persecutions that the Bible foretells? How can we go through the plagues, the pestilence, the wars, the rumors of wars? And again, my answer is a fairly simple one, but it's one that is based on faith, that we have to always be abiding in Christ. We have to believe in his promises, that come what may, he will never leave us nor forsake us. No matter how hard the persecutions are, no matter how hard the times are, that his grace, and that word grace also means power, his strength is sufficient for us, that will always see us through. And we have to look back and believe in those promises and take hold of those promises based on faith. And we have to look back throughout the scriptures, how the man of God, the Apostle Paul, was beaten, stoned, thrown over the city wall, but still he held on to his faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into a blazing furnace, but they still held on to their faith. And this is the level or the position that we must reach. We must always be abiding in Christ. That come what may, we must take hold of his hand. And the time to prepare is now. The time that we must let go of self and become grounded in him and become grounded in his word. The Bible said that we must hide his word in our heart, that we may not sin against him. This is what we must do now, that when those trying times do come, that we will be able to stand.
We have a call now.
Am I on?
Go ahead, Bremen, come in.
Oh, yeah. A godly evening to the universe. You know, Brother, I think it's Brother Paul. Brother Paul, within your introduction, right?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Brother Bremen.
Huh?
Go ahead, Brother Bremen. We can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Within your introduction, right, you had used the word cochlear, right? According to your subject, I don't know whether or not you used that in the right context, because, you see, cochlear means universal or one. And, you see, anybody could say, well, you know, we are the one church. So I wish you can sort of clarify that little bit right there when you said cochlear, if you understand what I'm saying. You see, we have Roman cochlear and we have Anglican cochlear. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I wish you can clarify that, please.
Okay, Brother Julian.
Thank you.
Okay, Brother Bremen. Brother Bremen, we were basically talking about the Roman Catholic Church and its history. And history will reveal that what we are saying is documented in what is called the Council of Trent. And tonight we are asking you, after this program is over tonight, you go and do a historical research on the Council of Trent. And what you will discover at the Council of Trent was that they call this concept trying to try to move away some of the stigmas, like we said earlier. And one of those particular stigmas is when the papacy system or the Roman Catholic Church system found that the beast of Revelation 13, the little horn of Daniel chapter 7, and the man of sin was pointing towards their system, and all the things that Martin Luther and the other reformers were saying, they tried to lift the stigma away from themselves. And what they did at the Council of Trent was they came up with this concept that yes, these things are indeed true. Yes, these things will take place, but these things will not take place until after the church is raptured. So here we are, like we said, hundreds of years later, that ministers of the gospel is preaching. The thing about it is the Catholic Church or the papacy is not teaching this concept. They're not teaching it. This is the sad part about it. You have ministers of the gospel, world-renowned ministers of the gospel. As a matter of fact, some of them even paid for a movie to produce the movie Left Behind. And a lot of our Christian brothers watch this movie, and right now they are afraid. They are so afraid, and the Bible is quite clear God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of sound mind and of love. So this is why at Turning Point Ministry, we tell our brothers and sisters, don't watch anything or listen to anything that will put your mind in the wrong focus. We are living in the end of times, brothers and sisters, and God has, and He has a church. And He said the gates of hell will not prevail against His church and against His truth. Jesus says clearly that the gates of hell shall not prevail against His church. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, ministers of the gospel who are paid daily by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ need to step up to the plate and let the people know the truth. But what is happening? The church is becoming now an entertainment center. And the time we spend entertaining people, and the time we spend whining and dining, we could spend studying the scriptures like the Bereans to see whether those things are true or not. Time is running out. And when time is no more, it's going to be you and Christ. And the question is, God, what did you do with the evidence? Why did you spend so much time watching the soap operas? Why did you spend so time in the hairdresser store? The time you spend there, you should have spent searching my word to see how you should be conducting yourself. And there'll be no excuse, ladies and gentlemen, for the members of Turning Point or you all who are listening tonight. The Bible is quite clear. God is going to do all in His power to save us. But when time should be no more, there's nothing He can do because His hand will be tied, ladies and gentlemen.
But Brother Brennan, we'd like to also say that, you know, we when we speak on these subjects, we don't speak on them, you know, overjoyed and skipping and having a happy time, but we speak on them very soberly. And we're not sitting here tonight bashing anyone, because I myself grew up, and the majority of my family were Roman Catholic. I grew up in the Catholic Church. So we're not sitting here bashing Catholics. We love our Catholic brothers and sisters. We love our brothers and sisters from all churches and from all denominations. But we're speaking about a system of operation, a system that persecuted God's people back during the Dark Ages, a system that is changed, that has attempted to change God's Ten Commandments, a system that has tried to change the interpretations of Bible prophecy. Again, we're not knocking any individual, any of our Catholic brethren, because we love them and we want to share the truth, the light and the truth from God's Word with them. But again, it behooves us and is upon us that we must share the truth. And again, we're not bashing people, but we're sharing the truth from God's Word.
Once again, our telephone numbers are 325-5403, 325-5404, or 325-5405. For those of you who are listening in the New Providence area, you can give us a call right now. We have some lines free, so give us a call. From the Family Islands, you can call toll-free at 1-242-300-8255. Also, there might be some persons here who might be kind of interested in what Turning Point Ministries is all about. You can access us on our website at www.tpministries.org. On that website, you would find emails to reach myself, Julian Miller, Renwick Bow, or Brother Paul.
Follow up on that. And again, how can we be sure? Well, we don't turn to the wisdom of men. We don't turn on and look at the news commentators and try to seek the wisdom of men to see where in fact we're living. But we go to the Word of God. And what does the Word of God say? The Word of God says in Matthew chapter 24 that just as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be before the coming of the Son of Man. Just like in the days of Lot. Matthew chapter 24 verse 25 says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Are we actually looking at the situation in the world today? in the church today? How many are saying that they're actually coming in the name of Christ, professing to be ministers of the gospel, professing to be prophets, so on and so forth, but are doing nothing but leading the children of God, people who want to, in fact, who love the Lord and want to serve the Lord, leading them to after parties, leading them to all-night parties for the youth, leading them away from the Word of God, not studying the Scriptures, but people come out to hear what thus says man instead of thus saith the Word of God, leading them to theories that were concocted by men that wanted to take the light of God's Word and snuff it out. And this is what is being taught today. Matthew 24, verse 11. And many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. Are we witnessing the situation in the church today? And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Are we living in a time, ladies and gentlemen, where iniquity is abounding all around us? Is iniquity abounding? Has the love of many waxed cold? Have people turned away from the true love of the Scripture and the true love of God's Word? Have they turned to their own wisdom? Have they turned to the ways of the world instead of seeking God and turning to His Word? Is that the situation we're actually witnessing in the world today? When we read the Scripture, we will see clearly and without a shadow of a doubt where we are in prophetic time, and we are living in the end of time.
Brother Paul, Brother Bo or Brother Renwick talked about the relationship of Lot and Noah and how things would be and how things were in that day and how that will come to that day. Can you share with us this afternoon the relationship between Noah's day, Lot's day, and our day? And does the Bible make any reference that in the end of time, this will how it would be?
Yes, I do, Brother Joseph. As a matter of fact, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 22, the prophet Peter made some very interesting comment. Verse 1, he said, But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there are false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord had brought them, bringing unto themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their destructive ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through the conversation they with foreign words make merchandise of you, getting rich of you, ladies and gentlemen, whose judgments now are long, and that damnables and damnation is going to come. Verse 4 says, For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell, and delivered them unto the change of darkness, and reserved them to judgment, and spared not the whole world, but saved Noah, 8 persons, a preacher of righteousness, bringing a flood upon the world of ungodliness, and turning the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and condemning them and overthrow, making them an example unto those who live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed from the filthiness conversation of the wicked. Remember, in Lot's day, it was so wicked that when the angels came from heaven to guide Lot and his family out of Sodom, the homosexual man wanted the angels, and Lot had to rebuke them. To one point, the angels had actually pulled Lot into the house, because they wanted to run, as if they wanted to snatch Lot away. This is how bad it was, ladies and gentlemen. So the Bible is quite clear that just how the Lord wiped the whole nation out after Noah preached for 120 years, and just how he sent angels from heaven to guide Lot and his family to safety, and then wiped them out with fire and brimstone, this is the same thing Christ is doing today. But the problem is, do we want to follow what Christ said based on his word? Jesus is quite clear in Matthew 4:4, Man shall live by bread alone, by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. John 17:70 says, Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. But the problem is, we don't want the word. We want the gospel according to our man's opinion. So here we are today in the late stage of its history. Men, women, boys, and girls are becoming excited on things that doesn't have anything to do with the gospel, but all because some man want to become rich of the gospel. And sure enough, they're becoming rich, ladies and gentlemen, because they're building million-dollar homes and driving $100,000 cars, and the list goes on and on. Today, ladies and gentlemen, the time has come for us to see once again if we are in the faith of God's word. Not the faith of our feelings, but the faith of God's word.
Amen, Brother Paul. I'd just like to read a short two verses from Luke chapter 17, and it says, They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought and sold, they planted, they builded. What is this speaking about? And the Lord isn't against us prospering. It isn't against us having marriages, good homes, and enjoying life as in His will. But this is speaking about people being consumed with the cares of this life. consumed so much that their eyes are taken off of the Lord. Noah preached for, what was it, Brother Paul, 120 years, and fewer than a handful of people were saved. Why? Because people were not concerned about what the Lord had to say. They were consumed with the cares of this world. And the same thing in the days of Lot. Lot preached in the city, but people did not turn to the preaching of the brother in Christ. They carried on with their iniquity. They carried on with the cares of this world. And what happened? In the end, they were consumed. Life continued as normal, and people had no care about the approaching judgment. The call of repentance was all around, but people took no heed. And I'd just like to read a short statement from a book called Sons and Daughters of God. And the chapters were chapter 7 with the title, Gather Courage from the Coldness of Others. And the author says, already the judgments of God are abroad in the land, as seen in storms, in floods, in tempests, in earthquakes, in peril by land and by sea. The great I Am is speaking to those who make void his law. When God's wrath is poured out upon the earth, who will be able to stand? Now is the time for God's people to show themselves true to the principle. When the religion of Christ is held in contempt, when his law is most despised, then should our zeal be the warmest and our courage and firmness the most unflinching. To stand in defense of truth and righteousness, when the majority forsake to fight the battles of the Lord, when the champions are few, this will be the test. We must gather warmth, courage, and loyalty. Brothers and sisters, right now, today, things appear to be going very well in the world. But the sad reality is that people are once again, just like in the days of Lot, just like in the days of Noah, consumed with their own cares, consumed with their own lifestyles, with building their homes, with buying the new cars, with enjoying life at its fullest. But fast approaching is the judgment of God upon people and upon this world. The time is now for us to repent and turn to the Lord.
Telephone numbers are, for the Family Islanders, toll free is 1-242-300-825-8255. Those of you calling from New Providence, you can call us at 325-5403, 325-5404, 325-5405. We have lines open now, so call in on your questions or your comments on the secret rapture, fact or fiction, the secret rapture, true or false. Brother Paul, excuse me, I have a question. If so many believe that the secret rapture is true, then it seems as if God is going to treat us differently, those who are at the end of time, than those in Noah and Lot's day. Because it seems as if he's going to give us a second chance, but he didn't give anybody living in Noah's day or Lot's day a second chance. Could you explain that for us, please?
Well, Brother Joe, I believe the reason why a lot of people believe this concept is because 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 is being fulfilled. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, it says, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, departing from the faith of God's word. And what's going to be the cause? Because they're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience snared with a hard iron. Acts chapter 10 is quite clear that God is no respecter of person. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feared him and wicked righteousness accepted of him. So the Bible is quite clear. God is no respecter of persons. What he did for one, he would do for all. John 1:6-9 says, and there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came as for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. John was not that light, the Bible says, but he came to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. So the Bible is quite clear that every man that comes into the world tastes the goodness and the love of Jesus Christ. So why would men be lost? Jesus puts it best. In John 15, it is. He said, men love darkness rather than light. And this is the condemnation that has caused men to be lost when he returned. Peter, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13 says, wherefore, my beloved, as we have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But thank God the Apostle Paul did not stop there. He said, how is it going to be possible for you to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? He said, for it is God would work it in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Isn't that good news? That Christ will work in you and I, both to do the will and do all the good of his pleasures. And that's where the gospel is, ladies and gentlemen. Christ in you and I, the hope of glory. There's no way you and I can live the gospel unless we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ every day of our lives.
Amen, Brother Paul. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15 says, today, if we hear his voice, harden not your hearts. What a strong text, ladies and gentlemen. If we hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Today, if we hear his voice, let's turn to him. Let's accept the salvation that he bought for us with a tremendous price. Genesis chapter 19, verse 23 says, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. When the door of mercy was shut on Sodom and Gomorrah, there was no second chance. When the door of mercy was shut on the inhabitants during Noah's time, when the door of mercy was shut, there was no second chance. Those who entered the ark of safety were safe. Those that stayed outside and refused salvation were lost.
Our telephone numbers here in the studio, if you want to reach us with your questions or comments, you can call us at 1-242-300-8255. If you live in the Family Islands, that's a toll-free call. For those of you living in Nassau, on the island of the Providence, you can call us at 325-5403 or 325-5404 or 325-5405 and let us know what is your comment or question on the secret rapture, fact or fiction. The secret rapture, true or false. I have another question for you, since we don't have a call at this particular time. What is the falling away? The Bible talks about there will be a falling away first before Christ comes. Does that talk about a secret rapture? What does it have to do with the second coming?
Well, Brother Julian, the falling away does not in fact speak about a secret rapture, but it speaks about the condition of the church and what was going to take place within the church before Christ returns. And the text that many who believe the secret rapture or the futurist doctrine, the text that they try to use to support the secret rapture is actually 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, and I'll read it in your hearing and encourage everyone to turn to their Bibles and read along with me. And it says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Which day is that? The second coming of Christ. Christ will not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who is that man of sin? The Bible is speaking about the Antichrist power. Why is he called the son of perdition? The same reason that Judas was called the son of perdition, because Judas started within the church, within the believers, but he went out from amongst them. So the Bible here is speaking about an apostasy within the church, and not a secret rapture or a secret coming of Christ, where people are just going to be whisked away in the middle of the night, so to speak. Again, in Acts chapter 20, Paul speaking to the elders of the church, and I'll read from verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church, down to verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Amen. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wars enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And your own selves shall men arise. Paul is speaking about the brethren that are in the church. He's saying, and of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Paul is saying that within the church, men are going to arise, speaking false doctrine, introducing their own theories, and that are going to draw people away from the truth that is within Christ Jesus, from the truth that was within God's word. And again, in 1 Timothy, we read, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Again, this speaks about a condition within the church where men within the church are again turning away from the truth, from the true doctrine, from the light in God's word, and turning to their own wisdom, to their own false theories. And this is what The text in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 3 is predicting that there's going to come an apostasy within the church, and Paul is saying that it would have begun even in his day, that this apostasy would begin, that this spirit of deception, this antichrist spirit would start to come within the church and draw people away from the truth within God's word, to draw people out of the church. Jesus foretold the same thing in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 11. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Again, three texts that we read, ladies and gentlemen, speak of deception, speak of people turning their backs to the truth and following their own wisdom. Again, in Revelation chapter 2, Jesus speaking to the early church, to the Ephesus church, and unto the angel, and I'm reading from verse 1, and unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have something against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore whence thou hast fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except you repent. So all of these texts, when we put them together in combination, what are they speaking about? They're not speaking about the saints being whisked away or raptured away, but they're speaking about the condition of the church, starting back in the apostle days, and even progressively now still going on this day, that people are not searching the scriptures for themselves. They're not turning to the Bible and find whatever they find in the Bible, and whatever the Holy Spirit revealed to them, holding on to it in love. But people are turning away from the truth, turning away from the true doctrine, and turning to the wisdom of men. This is the falling away that the Holy Spirit predicted throughout the scriptures.
Our telephone numbers are 325-5403, 325-5404, or 325-5405. For those of you living on the island of New Providence, for the family island callers, you can call us at 1-242-300-8255, which is a toll-free number. That means you don't have to pay for it. We pick up the calls here. Revelation 3:10. Doesn't this, Brother Paul, foretell of the Christians escaping the tribulation?
No, it don't. It gives us hope, as a matter of fact. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, it says, because thou hast kept the words of my patience, I'll also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the whole world to try them that dwell on the earth. So the message that Revelation 3:10 is a good chapter right there. It gives us a whole lot of courage to let us know that we can go on, that Christ will do all in his power to keep us from the hour of temptation that will come to try the world. Another good chapter we can read tonight is Psalms chapter 91. And Psalms chapter 91 is loaded with information for those who are afraid of the tribulation. It talks about when the tribulation take place, that 1,000, we'll see 1,000 people fall on our, on thy side, and 10,000 on thy right hand, but none shall come nigh thee. It also talks about, we'll see the wicked being destroyed. And what is going to cause the destruction of the wicked to be so serious that in verse 10 of Psalms 91, it says, and there shall no evil befall thee. That means the people, those who are on the Lord's side. Neither shall any plagues come nigh unto thee. And these plagues are listed in Revelation chapter 16. Which are a very, very serious plague. They are known as the seven last plagues. And when these seven last plagues fall, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to fall upon those who have the mark of the beast. And you know, when you speak to Christians today, most Christians will tell you the mark of the beast is 666. But the mark of the beast is not 666. The mark of the beast is a system of worship. Are you going to worship the way God says, or are you going to worship the way man says? Because when you read the true angel's message in Revelation chapter 14, there are a group of people worshiping the God who created the heaven, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters. And there's another group of people worshiping the beast and his image. You see, in Revelation chapter 6, where it talks about the hymn that talks about the 666, Revelation 13, I should have said, it talks, says, here is wisdom. Let him that have understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And Revelation 15:2 tells us that number can be found in the name of that man. So it's not really the mark of the beast, but there's some identification marks you can really pinpoint who. will be held in the system of the mark of the beast when it comes into effect. Is the mark of the beast in effect now? No, it's not in effect. It's not going to be until state and church work together. Right now, today, you know, the state have a lot to say, especially in the United States of America, our brothers to the north. You know, when the president speaks, the whole world automatically obeys. As a matter of fact, there are things we have in the Bahamas right now that was handed down to us from America. So America is doing all it can to restore peace. But, you know, based on the scriptures, they are fulfilling the scriptures right here in the Bahamas and around the world, trying to bring peace everywhere. They want peace in the Middle East, and they want peace in the Bahamas, and peace in America, peace around the world. But the Bible is quite clear that when they cry peace and safety, then there will be sudden destruction that will come upon the land. So they're right on target. They're fulfilling the Bible prophecies. And if they weren't trying to promote peace, then we could say the Bible is not true.
And I'd also like to add what Brother Paul said in Revelation 3:10, and we'll read it once more. And it says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep." And that's the key word in this text, ladies and gentlemen. That term, that word, keep. "I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." And last week I said, and I'll repeat it again, when we examine the scriptures, we must take everything in full context. The Old Testament scriptures were written in, the original text was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament, the original text were written in Greek language. And so when we examine this word keep in the original text, it has a different meaning than what people who teach the secret rapture theory try to make it mean. They try to tell us that Jesus is saying that by keeping us from the hour of temptation, that he's actually going to take us out of the world. But this is not what the text is saying. The original text, the original meaning of the word keep was, in this context, is to guard from loss or injury, to keep an eye upon, to prevent from escaping, to fortify, to put up a fortress or a military line. And this is the same thing that we see in John 17 verse 15. The Lord is saying that he's not going to take us out of the world when these things come to try the world, but he's going to fortify us. He's going to put a hedge of protection around us that we don't fall. And how do we get that hedge of protection around us? By abiding in Christ, by daily searching our scriptures, abiding in him. John 17 verse 15 says, "I pray not that thou shouldest keep them out of the world, but thou should keep them that thou should keep them from evil." The Holy Spirit is saying through John, saying in this text, that we're not going to be taken out of the world, but we're going to be in the world, but not of the world. We're going to have a hedge of protection around us. We're going to be fortified that we don't fall because of the evils that are constantly buffeting us in the world on a daily basis. Jude chapter 1 verse 24. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." The same meaning in Jude is the same meaning in John chapter 17, and the same meaning that we see in Revelation 3:10, that God is going to preserve us. He's going to strengthen us. He's going to put that hedge of protection around us when we love his word, when we love his law, when we surrender all to him, when we abide in Christ, that he will keep us from falling, just as how we did the men of old throughout scriptures, just the same thing that he will do for us. And I'd just like to read a few words from a book called In Heavenly Places. And it says, "False doctrines will sap the foundations of man because they have not learned to discern truth from error. Our only safeguard against the wiles of Satan is to study the scriptures diligently and to have an intelligent understanding of the reasons of our faith and faithfully to perform every known duty. The indulgence of one known sin will cause weakness and darkness and subject us to fierce temptation." And the author goes on to say in another paragraph here, now is the time when we are to confess and forsake our sins, that we may go beforehand to judgment and be blotted out. Now is the time to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. It is dangerous to delay this work. Satan is even now seeking by disasters upon sea and land to steal the fate of many as possible. What is the defense of the people of God in this time? It is a living connection with heaven. If we must dwell in safety from the noisome pestilence, if we would be preserved from the dangers unseen and unseen, we must hide in God. We must secure the protecting the protecting care of Jesus and the holy angels. I asked a friend of mine a question a few weeks back, and they were preparing for a party one Friday afternoon. And I asked a simple question. I said, if the Lord comes and meets us all underneath the tent, partying, drinking beer and drinking liquor and having a good time and dancing and carrying on, what is going to happen to us? That's the following morning, an earthquake struck in the other part of the world. I believe it was Indonesia. And thousands of people were lost. Thousands of people were instantly killed by that powerful earthquake. Let's not become so enwrapped, so caught up in the cares of this world that we don't see judgment fast approaching, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord will keep us from the things that will come upon this world only if we abide in Him. And today is the day. Today is the hour that we must confess all sin and turn to Christ while there's still breath in our body.
Our telephone numbers for the Family Island, which is a toll-free call, is 1-242-300-8255. That's 1-242-300-8255. That's a toll-free number. We're about to finish our first hour and we're getting ready to start our second hour, so we want you to call in with your questions and or comments. I'm sure there are persons out there listening to us this evening, that have different views than we have, so we'd very much like to hear those views. We want the whole Bahamas to get the whole picture. So if your views differ from ours, please feel free to give us a call. Those of you living on the island of New Providence, you can call us at 325-5403 or 325-5404 or 325-5405. Now, our next question is, I heard you mention about the Antichrist. What relationship does the Antichrist have with this secret rapture?
Well, if you ask ourselves, what does the word Antichrist mean? The word Antichrist means anyone who wants to take the place of Christ. The word Antichrist means one who wants to sit in the place of Christ, or one who said that he is Christ, or being worshipped as Christ. And you can read a little bit about the Antichrist in 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, verses 4, chapter 4, and also verses 3, and 2 John chapter 7. And the Antichrist, behind who is working behind the scenes of the Antichrist, is Satan himself. Satan is a marked deceiver. And we realize that Satan also, the Bible says, is transformed into an angel of light. And there's no great thing that he can also make his ministers appear to be ministers of righteousness, whose work should be according to their works. And today, ladies and gentlemen, Satan is really working behind the scenes. When you have ministers of the gospel receiving worship who are mortal men just like themselves. As a matter of fact, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible is quite clear that the time will come when there'll be the man of sin, Paul talked about, the son of perdition. He said he'll be sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God and he's being worshipped as God. And today, ladies and gentlemen, if you just turn your TV on CNN, you will see that there's one particular person who's being worshipped all around the world. And you know what? No minister is crying foul. I have not heard one minister rebuke what is going on. But you know, if the members of Turning Point should take it upon themselves to rebuke them, I am sure Zenas will have plenty calls tomorrow. So based on that, if you want to know who that person is, please give me a call at 322-6273, ladies and gentlemen, and we reveal who that person is. Because when we tell you the truth, you know, sometimes people get offended as if it is our truth. It's the Holy Spirit truth, ladies and gentlemen. He's the one that commissions the disciples and the men, the prophets, to write the Holy Word, not us. Not the members of Turning Point. And I know this doctrine may sound strange to you, but you know, we put out our own disclaimers on ourselves. Next month will make 4 years since we've been on the radio program. And like myself and Brother Julian and Marlene said, and even Renrick, who just came on board with us, we praise the Lord for that. We always said, ladies and gentlemen, if we are saying something wrong, please call us and let us know. Don't have us on ZNS spewing out lies. You know, ZNS told us a long time ago that when we come to the airwaves, make sure whatever we say, we can back it up in black and white. Don't just come talking foolishness. Because two things are going to happen. Your program is going to be off air, number one, and you're going to cause yourself to get sued. And God forbid we even cause ZNS to get sued. So we have the Lord is on our side. And whatever we present to you, ladies and gentlemen, we can back it up based on church history and world history. And you know, by chance, if someone should decide to take it to court, the Lord is going to be our lawyer. But you know how this court system is set up. You know, they want earthly lawyers. So, you know, we'll allow the Lord to pick that one for us. But once we present the truth, I know we don't need no lawyers. The Lord will give us what we need to say at that time. Like His Word said He would. That when we stand before the courts, think of what you would have to say. I would put words into your mouth.
We have a caller. Go ahead, Brother Junior from Farmers Key.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
How are you, sir?
I'm okay.
Yeah, I would call and I'd be interested from the time yours started, even when you say the free line. I want to know, there's so many... Normanary churches in the Bahamas. first one, one time we had the Jumbo Church, they used to criticize them. The Baptists, they used to criticize them. Jehovah's Witness, they still criticizing them. I want to know why all churches can't get together under one